Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin Console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes. This episode is brought to you by the official coffee of the Chromecast podcast, Fresh Roasted Coffee, who we've partnered with to make a special edition Chrome Unboxed anniversary blend. Here at Chrome Unboxed, we're not just nerdy about Chromebooks, we're also coffee snobs. And look, we wasted a lot of time hand roasting coffee before we found Fresh Roasted Coffee, and we haven't looked back since. This coffee is roasted fresh to order, immediately packaged, nitrogen flushed, and shipped directly to your door. And although we can't officially say that this Chrome Unboxed edition tastes any better than the normal anniversary blend, that is the word around town. But don't just take our word for it. Pick up a bag for yourself and let us know what you think. You can grab a bag over at chromeunboxed.com/coffee. Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Chromecast. My name's Joe, joined here today by Robbie.
Hey, what's up?
And Gabriel.
He teases me. He looks at me and then he says,
staring
Robbie.
Him down.
It's like a quarterback.
I was
like,
staring him down.
Hi, Robbie. Oh, sorry.
And we got Paul and we got Dan. Some of you who watch the video version, or if you just listen, you might notice that we don't have Andy Cam.
Yeah.
We're big sad about it.
We are.
But Andy Cam has moved to more of a contracted role. And he's still editing the podcast. At least he's editing this week. Last week I edited it. And I missed having Andy Cam.
Fair enough.
Last week, we filmed the wide shot right here on a Pixel 7 Pro with Filmic Pro.
That's a great idea in concept.
And I clicked into the app and chose 30 frames per second. 30.
False.
30 was what I thought it would be. It was.
It was.
The Sony, who I put at 30 frames per second, was at 29.97.
That's the thing.
Everything was wrong.
Yep, they're not the same.
And they have 23.97.
So if you were, if you were watching the video and notice, like on longer clips of the wide angle, you might notice if you watch real closely towards the end of those longer clips, our voices and mouths were just barely off. Probably no one noticed. I'm probably the only one who noticed.
Probably.
But I had to chop and then move, pull the audio back up on the camera clip. Make sure it was lined up at least at the beginning. The end would be off. And then I had to purposefully like make a bunch of cuts to make sure that I could.
Yeah.
So I was cutting back to this camera probably more than we would have on those scenes. So
suboptimal.
Hey, you know, we made it happen. At one point, I was just like, I'm just not going to do this. Like,
we're just putting out an
audio version.
Yeah. I remember when I learned about that because I didn't know that was like a thing.
Because like the project.
It's lined up, but then you get to the end and it's not. And it's like,
Yeah. You would, yeah. It's annoying. Because the project, the way the project is set up, the project was, we're, you know, setting everything up at 30 frames per second. So the one, or the, it was 29.97. So then
right.
You would think a second is a second, but when the projects are rendering it out, it's, I still don't totally get it, but it is what it is. Because yeah, the project,
probably forcing that.
The project is forcing each frame into 30, right. 29.97 frames right. per second. So then the other clip sitting on top of it that is actually 30.
It's cramming it in there. And right. So there's more frames than
right.
than space.
Yeah. So anywho, it's all that's what's up.
Technical.
I've thought about for some versions of the podcast, like when we were in New York, for example, of some episodes that we just want to turn quick, little update type episodes. We've talked about doing like a quick little news roundup type thing. Yeah. Just do audio on those and let the video be, you know, some more stuff and extra things that we add in.
True.
But anywho, that's where we're at. We are using a different camera this week. We have our old...
It's return.
It is technically our old camera that we used for filming back when we were in...
Probably in year one, like late year one.
18, 19?
So 2017, 2018, yeah. I would say.
And...
So once 2019 came, we were using all our own stuff.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So this is the Sony A7. We're going to roll with it today.
Mark II.
See, no, that's the original. That's I did check.
Oh, it's not two.
It is the one.
Oh, I thought
it's the original A7S.
Huh.
Yep.
That's weird.
Yep. So I think we, I don't know, whenever we got ours,
back in time.
We skipped the version. Okay. So, how's y'all's coffee today?
Delicious.
Quite good.
I was kicking around the idea of not making one, and then Robbie had some very, very strong logic that he shared with me.
Right.
And I decided to go ahead and make one.
I wish I would have made a cup, and I didn't.
Make one at the break.
And I'm regretting it, and I think I might. You know, I'm not an afternoon cup of coffee kind of guy. It makes me jittery and anxious, and normally I can't sleep, but, you know, like, sometimes
I'm
it just
ready
calls for
it.
some days you just got to have some extra coffee.
You're leaving for the weekend, right?
I am.
Go
so
ahead.
I'm trying to. Yeah.
Drink that coffee.
I'm not gonna be here to bug these guys. I'll be coming up with all sorts of new business ideas on the drive. I'll be making Google Notes to myself.
I'm going home, eat more brisket.
Yeah,
swiping those texts away.
Hey guys, have you all thought about what?
For the next 3 days, you do not exist.
My electric truck or electric vehicle YouTube channel was definitely that. Had a little bit too much caffeine and rocking and rolling.
Bro, I'm 100% on board with what we were talking about
really
yesterday.
Fun.
I really think a certain automobile dealer here
automobile.
In town would be really down with that.
Let us know on Twitter at Chrome Unboxed. Would you be interested in Chrome Unboxed doing electric vehicle content?
Not just electric vehicles, but like just the tech involved in, because there's so many different. I mean, you've got your standard run of the mill electric vehicles, but there's lots of different tech around all that stuff. So
yeah, there's some really cool stuff. And Gabe used to work in the car business, and I've always liked and research vehicles and
I also drive cars.
Robbie drives cars.
I have bought vehicles.
Hey, you're excited. You're excited about an upcoming EV.
I'm super
EV.
Pumped about the Honda Prologue. I love the name too.
Yeah,
it's going to be their first manufactured electric vehicle in
looking.
The States. Yeah, it's.
I do want
a
drive.
Land Rover vibe to it, but Landon was looking at it and he saw it's got a third row seating, so it's going to
be a little bigger,
considerably larger vehicle than what I drive.
So it's more of an SUV, not a crossover.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. I want to drive the Hyundai, though. I really do.
The Ioniq?
What's their
Ioniq,
EV? The
Ioniq 5.
Ioniq 5.
Yeah, so.
Kia's. What's Kia's?
Electric. I've seen the commercial. I can't remember.
I don't
what it's
remember.
Called.
Everybody's
so
coming out with them now.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming.
It's great.
You know, I'm like, I'll be way more interested in it in the next year, probably, as they actually start arriving. Like, the idea that, you know, I don't know if Hyundai or Kia are building on GM's. What is the name of it? Daggone it.
Always forget it.
Ultium. The Ultium battery / frame /
platform.
Foundation. Drivetrain.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the whole deal. Honda's actually the Prologue that I would like to get in 2024. They've announced it'll be on Ultium as well. Because a lot of these foreign manufacturers don't really even have plans yet. Like Honda didn't really have a plan to move forward with electric vehicles at this point. And I know Toyota's still in that same boat. So, you know, GM comes along and says, hey, remember we saw Ultium announced at CES 2020, and it was kind of like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be GM's battery or whatever, but it's turning into a thing where it probably is going to be the baseline for all non-Tesla EVs that are built in America, at least. And so I think that's a good thing. Standardizing some of this stuff is the way to go. Like, imagine a world where we had all different engines, and the gas station you stopped at, you weren't sure if the gas worked in your vehicle because there's like eight types of gas. That is terrible. That's a terrible infrastructure. And so we're kind of there right now with, there's all these different charging standards and stuff. Tesla owners and Tesla superchargers, they're in a good spot. But everybody else right now is just kind of this weird, because there's a Chevy Volt EUV that I looked at. It's the same size basically as my HRV, and they had some sort of government mandated reduction on the price. So like the 2022 model of that thing, I think still is like $24,000 or $26,000, brand new.
Yeah,
go over to the lot and buy it. But it's not built on Ultium. It's built on a generation or two older battery tech. And it's like,
yeah,
do I really want to get in bed with a vehicle for the next 5 to 10 years that's built on tech that may not just be widely supported? Because they could just be like, hey, the Ultium chargers won't work with these. Sorry, you have to charge it at home or whatever. And then the resale value is going to go.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, I'm going to wait till, if I'm going to get something that's not a Tesla, I'm going to get one that's Ultium.
Yeah.
Just so that it's part of the, what seems like it's going to be the bigger standard, because GM's already announced the Equinox, the Blazer. There's a third one too, a smaller one.
I don't know.
They've got the GMC
Sierra.
What is the top version
Denali,
of the
Sierra? I think.
Yeah.
The Denali Electric. I don't know what Ford's doing. I'm not sure Ford's.
I mean,
building,
they've had the
Ultium.
Lightning, the Electric. They're building their own batteries and stuff. I would assume they're building their own.
That's true. They got the Ford plant coming in here. So I guess they're doing their own thing. I hope they work together to where these chargers are, because that's part of the problem. What I've read online is that you get outside of Tesla and a lot of these charging stations, like software updates aren't there. The station didn't work. And so, I mean, it's not like you've got 20 to choose from.
Right.
You might not have another one for another 50 miles. So it's like, that's a scary thing to me. Like, I'm not interested in getting
involved.
That's
why I feel like hybrid technology is still more sustainable right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the future of electric cars is bright. And I mean, as long as it's sustainable for like the planet and stuff, I definitely think that's the way it's going to go. But Toyota leaned heavily into hybrid. I think at one point in time, I think they had a hybrid of every vehicle they made.
They were all about it.
Yeah. And they had their hydrogen tech there for a little while,
too. Did you see
Hyundai?
Australia, somewhere, I think it was Australia, they just launched retail the first hydrogen power car a couple weeks ago. And
where do you get hydrogen to put in it?
At a hydrogen pump.
Hydrogen pump. Duh.
Where do you think?
Yeah.
If you're going to have hydrogen, you need to put something in that that separates water and gives me the hydrogen out of water. So I put water in my car and it runs on water.
But that's, I mean, it's 100% full clean burning and all that stuff. Yeah. I don't know.
I think the
steam pump.
I'm seeing, my thing with these electric vehicles and maybe even trying to get into a space where we create content around it is you see a lot of tech, you know, creators who are getting, you know, these vehicles to review.
Yep.
And I think it's because these manufacturers are realizing, like, so many, I think of at least the early adopters on Tesla and on a lot of these other electric vehicles are people that are fairly, you know,
a little more technically bent.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think we could maybe provide some value there. And also having a little bit of some car background could be really a different sort of take that maybe others aren't.
I was with Ford when they launched their first, the C-Max.
Oh yeah!
I don't know if they still make them or not.
Oh, let's find one of those and do a review of that.
Hideously ugly. horrible. Yeah. But I mean, we had
a Melba toast of vehicles.
We had a slew of people come in from Fort Knox and buy them because Fort Knox was the first place around here to have a charger. Swope Nissan had one on their lot, but then Fort Knox put in like 10 of them up there, and we had a ton of people because back then you could get the big rebates and all that
stuff and everything.
But remember having a first customer coming in needing a battery replacement. It was like, you want to just go ahead and buy a new one because it's going to be about the same.
that'll be key too, because there's been these horror stories going around of people needing battery replacements on electric cars, and it costs more than a vehicle, and it's like,
sure.
Hopefully stuff like Ultium and, you know, even if Ford has their own thing, if it's done at scale, you know, like it's not as big of a replacement versus what the stories that are going around now.
Yeah.
There's some kinks that have to be worked out for sure, but
I'm going to get me a Tesla
and
I'm going to put some solar panels on top of it.
Yeah, sure.
Did you see that guy that he does
like
all these
1,400 miles or something? Is that the one you're talking about?
He did 1,800, but 18. He basically rigged a generator in the back of his Tesla, and, and it would crank while he's driving down the road, generate electricity, and push it back. He made it 1,800 miles without a charge.
I mean,
but he said it was horribly loud and an awful experience.
Yeah.
But honestly, I mean, the day
do it.
It seemed futuristic, but the day will come where we, you know, we come up with some sort of fully self-renewing energy source, and that was you get in your car and you just drive, and somehow, whether it's solar or whatever, hydrogen splitting atoms, you know, quantum theory stuff, it's just going to go forever. You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. There's some electric vehicle thoughts.
It's going to happen.
I'm a seasoned car guy. I know what I'm talking about.
That's right. Let's talk about some Chrome OS stuff now. Yeah. 107 out and about.
Yeah.
What's new?
It is. I'm going to lean to Gabe on that.
A lot more.
He wrote the article, and I was, what was I doing that day?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a bunch of stuff going on.
Where were you?
We were filming somewhere. Something, I think. I don't remember what it was.
You weren't in the office that morning.
Who knows? We'll never know.
This week has been a blur.
Yeah, we'll never know.
It's been a weird week.
But anyway, yeah, because I remember writing it and thinking, because I wrote Chrome 107 last week, and there wasn't really much much in Chrome 107. And as far as we knew, I really wasn't expecting much out of Chrome OS 107. But there were quite a few things that off the top of my head, I can't really seem to think of now.
It was really great.
Yeah,
there was
good
stuff.
Awesome. But this week has been so just all over the place. I've driven like 250 miles this morning already because I've been back to my house three times. And
pull up the article. Let's
pull it up.
Yeah.
So it's my birthday today, so I shouldn't have to know anything.
That's
not true. If you're listening to this, it is not his birthday.
That's right.
Yesterday
he's a liar.
It's my birthday right now, though.
Because you're a liar.
It's my birthday now.
At this current moment,
we write a lot of things.
We do. Yeah, there we go.
Good all content right. off.
Oh, camera framing. There we go.
I'm let you scroll this. You'll probably remember them.
Hey, I think I know the guy that wrote this.
Hey, who wrote this?
You've been looking up lenses?
Yeah.
No?
Nope, that's that locality thing.
Yeah,
I guarantee
exactly
he has.
Is,
so. I 100% have.
From our IP address. Yeah. So it's like, I bet you might like this
you
too.
Like this
you
stuff
need a
too,
Sony,
don't you?
Wrong.
Anyway,
wrong
big
Google.
Ad for Sony top portrait lenses from, it doesn't even say where it's from, so it's probably from Sony. Anyway, camera framing. So
today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unbox. That's cameo.com/unbox, or click the link down in the show notes.
Didn't expect this until 108, but if you have a device that is capable or the camera is capable, it does framing. So when you're in the camera app or Google Meet, anything that's using the camera, whether it's photo or video, there will be a little extra setting in your settings menu that shows up only when the camera is open. You click it, it will zoom and center you in the frame. And
finds your face, puts it in the middle.
Yeah, so I updated the HP, the Dragonfly, and clicked it, and sure enough, it doesn't. It's not dynamic. You click it, it does it once. I'm hoping that future updates will allow it to move with you. But this is probably geared towards people that are sitting at a desk, they're taking a call, they click it, it's centering their face. And it worked really well. Plus, the HP has a better than average camera on it, which doesn't hurt. So, yeah. Lock lid without sleep. I had to ping Robbie about this one because I was like, I thought that was already a thing. So your device, you can set it to lock when you close the lid. But when you do that, it's still going to go to sleep eventually or power off depending on which settings you have. So this is going to be geared towards enterprise devices. If you're running an SSH server or you're doing something that you want your device to continue doing what it's doing, you'll have to have the settings set correctly. But when you close the lid, it will lock it for security purposes while still allowing whatever background stuff to continue running. So was the remote desktop, I think. Was
yeah, like, and that would be for Chrome OS, because remote desktop, remoting into a Chromebook, if you really stop and think about it for a second, doesn't even make any sense.
No.
Because it's like, it's all wherever why you are. Would you want to set that up if you had a Chromebook to remote into your other Chromebook? Just sign in and all your stuff's there.
Right.
So that's silly. But you can do it for remote help. So, I mean, for those situations, it would kind of work. But it's that same idea. Like, if you needed access to that device with the lid closed, or even, you know, if you had something running where you could remote it and ping it to do something. So that's where SSH comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to leave it open and the screen going all the time. You can just shut it down.
And, yeah, and you think about, like, developers and stuff that might be running, like, headless programs and stuff on their end. They can have a Linux window open, run that, you know, headless server, close the lid, walk away, and it's going to keep doing what it's doing, and the company's not going to shut down and fall apart. I'm like, man, Jim closes his Chromebook again. The whole company just went down, so... Anyways, the rest of it is, well, we'll get to the, I'll let Rubby. If you missed that, that was in last week's episode.
It's Rubby's birthday.
Recent file filters, it seems minimal, but it's really, really useful. So when you open the Files app, there's a recent tab at the top. You click that and it shows you, obviously, recent files that you've had open or used or downloaded, whatnot. They've just added a filter across the top so you can filter images, documents, whatever. Super handy, especially if you're in the habit of downloading a lot of photos and things like that. And you're like, oh, I just need to find this PDF. Click it. You filter.
I will say holding space or tote or whatever they're calling it now. I used it all the time because that was the easiest way to get to the stuff that I was just now messing with. I mean, I wear out the holding space now. I mean, it's constant between it and the ability to see my photos from my phone. Like, I just never even bother with the files picker anymore for that kind of stuff. It's so awesome.
All right, it went away, but the ad before that was a Chevy Silverado ad. Just saying.
It's listening.
It wasn't electric.
It's listening.
Yeah, so. Anyway, all right, Desk. This is probably the biggest one for a lot of people because Desk was a really exciting addition. Desk essentially just gives you virtual desktops, so you can have different apps open run in different desktops. You can now save those desktops for later, and if you save them and close them, then you can reopen that desktop later,
right.
And all of those apps will reopen in that desktop. But they've also added a merge option, so if you go into overview mode, it looks like the little pages icon on the top row.
Yeah.
You click that, it brings you into overview mode so you can see everything that you have open, and it'll show your desks across the top. There's a close icon, but now there's a merge icon. If you merge it, it will merge it to the desk immediately to the left, and then it'll delete that desk, which is super handy because you're like, you know, I want to keep this stuff, but I don't need it in a separate desk anymore, you know, whatever.
And the fact that they keep adding more stuff to virtual desk tells me they're seeing metrics that a lot of people use.
Yeah, because you write the 16 the other day?
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming.
They're adding up to 16 virtual desks,
which is mind-boggling. But after
more than I need.
Yeah, after our trip to Azoic, I know people that might use it. There were guys in there that one guy had 6 monitors set up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I use more virtual desks. I'll get like 6 or 7 going if I'm just on my Chromebook. Like if I'm at home writing and I'm going to.
Because you don't have that real estate.
Yeah. So I don't want like having WhatsApp and Discord on one page, like both of the interfaces of those, if I half screen them. Like if I'm on a big like 16 inch Chromebook, no big deal. But if I'm on like a 13 inch Chromebook, it's like, these need to have their own page, you know? And so I'll just full screen them and put them in a desk and swipe through those. And so it's like, you know, you're lining up all your virtual monitors and just sliding them into view. It's a whole lot easier to use. So I could see people getting into 10, 12, 16 seems like a lot, but
like, how are you gonna like remember what all you've got there with 16?
I could kind of see it though, like if you were in a position where
a workflow where you move one thing to
like maybe Josh, you know, where you deal with a lot of different clients and you need to keep that stuff siloed and you're not, I mean, I could see that.
You can in the overview mode, you can grab those desks and rearrange them, so you can leave them over there and it's like, cool, I want to work with these.
I'm gonna grab that over.
Pull these over here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it. It's a super productive.
It's not like
feature.
You're necessarily using all of those desks all at once, but
there.
you can create them, have them there.
Yeah.
And yeah, same thing. Like I'm thinking about, whenever I was working with a lot of clients at marketing company, like being able to have those kind of that workflow set up on that desk, and now when I'm working with them, pull it over.
And it's no different than anything else. Like if you've never used it, you need to probably try it out and see, and you might figure out like, oh my God, this is super helpful
to use this. Yeah.
It reminds me of like Google's inbox for email.
Yeah.
Like I remember I pushed back on it for, I don't know, I bet at least a year solid, you know, where I was just like, this is dumb. Like, this is a weird way to look at my email. I don't know about all this. And then finally decided to use it and used it for like 3 days straight and was like, oh my gosh, how did I miss out on this? And then
he embraced it and they killed it.
Later they killed it. That's still, Spaces was tough, but Inbox is still the most hurtful thing Google ever shut down on me.
Robbie wakes up and is sweating at night. Where'd it go?
That's great.
I was just using it.
And nothing's ever come quite close to it, unfortunately. I don't know. It's one of those things I wish they'd bring back. I really wish they'd be like, you know what? It seems like people still, even years later, are really missing this. Let's bring this back as a Gmail, you know, add-on or something.
Sure.
Because it wasn't like functionally, it didn't do anything different than Gmail does. It just presented all of the info in a very different way.
Right.
So like, give me a flip switch. Let me go to that mode.
Right.
Call it something else if you want, but just bring back all that stuff. They never did.
Are you still using your extension?
No. The cleaned up Gmail is good enough. And I was like, I got tired of Gmail would change the extension and like, simplified Gmail is still good. It's a cool thing, but it's like, Gmail's
got to be fully devoted.
They've cleaned it up enough that I'm like, okay, it's just one less thing I got to think about. And I don't spend that much time in Gmail or in email anyway.
Yeah.
Try to avoid it.
I select all, delete.
I'm like, hey guys, did you all get that email I sent you? They're like, what? What email?
Sure did.
What?
Sure did.
We have emails?
Oh, I got plenty of emails.
Tons of email. And in the desk, we mentioned this, though, save desk. So you save the desk, it actually closes it out. But then when you go back to overview mode, you'll see a thing that says saved for later, which is really cool because it shows you how many tabs are open in it and the name of it. And you just click it and it reopens that desk. Very handy. So, and this, I'd never heard of this word, diacritics. No. Okay.
Nope.
All right. So diacritics. If you see, like, I guess a tilde. Well, no, because a tilde stands on. Yeah, that's a tilde. It stands on its own. But if you see letters in other languages that are similar to ours, but they have symbols attached to them, or they might look weird, like you have the two E's that look like they kind of had an accident and merged with each other. Those are just different types of characters from other non-English languages. They've added it's a flag right now, but if you enable it and you go to a text spot and you press a button on your keyboard and hold it instead of typing that letter 5 million times, it brings up the diacritic keyboard, and you can select your A with the schwa over it and stuff like that. So if you do a lot of stuff where you need non-English characters, it would be very useful. If you don't know, who has the whole Unicode library memorized?
All right.
No?
Okay. Half.
Half.
I know,
not
like,
half.
I know like three. Yeah. So anyway. So yeah, and I think that is about it. There's probably some other stuff under the hood. I would imagine with beta going to 108, there are probably some flags in 107 that we need to check out and play with.
Some hidden features.
Yeah, absolutely. But the 107 itself had a lot of stuff in it that we were not expecting at all. So.
Yeah, and it's like stuff we've known is in the works or whatever, but because this more frequent update cycle, it's like they just wait till it's ready and then they ship it.
Yeah,
right.
And which is so much better. It's a little less like pomp and circumstance every time.
Sure.
Yeah, 106. Update, yeah, like, 106 was like 2 weeks late, maybe longer.
It was late and there was nothing in it.
Nothing in it. This one was just a couple of days which late, so much more on time.
Makes me believe that probably some of this stuff was supposed to come in 106, I bet. And they didn't.
Sure.
They had some issues that didn't work out, so they were just like, "Nah, pull it, we'll fix it by the time 107 comes out anyway."
Yeah.
Just ship 106 so we can move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it showed up and it was like, cool, this is like 105.
Yeah. There was a bunch of bug fixes, but that was about it.
Yeah.
Which are always welcome.
Right. For sure. Well, we have some more Chrome OS stuff to talk about, but we're going to take a quick break. But before we do that, I want to mention an interview episode that we just put out with Adam King from MediaTek, and had a fun chat with him, talked about kind of the roadmap of Companio. And they've put out a new chip in the HP Chromebook X360 13B.
There you go.
And
he nailed it.
The Companio 1200 in that. And so we were chatting about that, and then just some of the ways they're thinking about Chromebook trends and how they work with OEMs. It was just a fun chat. I've talked with Victor before, and this is my first time talking with Adam. I think he's relatively new to MediaTek. I think he had said that he had joined the team in like March or something.
Oh, wow.
So it was fun chat. But as part of that interview, we've partnered with MediaTek to give away one of those HPs.
Yes.
So it is running right now. Don't wait. It's a quick one.
The giveaway, not the Chromebook. It's still in the box.
It's still in the box. it's going to be a relatively quicker giveaway, 2 weeks, and go get entered to win. And you could get this this brand new Chromebook delivered right to your doorstep. And you can open it.
Are we giving away
or other stuff?
Are we giving away the 1200
or the 1300 version? Isn't 1380 version? Isn't
it's an out?
Isn't yet. Out yet?
Okay,
that's. But he said it is coming.
Yeah, we have one of them here. So yeah. That it's we've got a bunch of devices in here lately. So it's coming. We'll get to it.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. And then we also still have our other kind of Chromecast giveaway, our main channel giveaway. So if you're watching this on YouTube, which if you check it out.
Look it up. See where
we're at. Like 51. We're coming up on 200 episodes. And I thought about just calling it then, and we just give the stuff away.
Surprise!
I don't know. We'll see. We're trying to hit 6,000 subs on this YouTube channel. Help us out. We're getting. It's like we had a big wave of people subscribing, and then it's been steady. But we're getting there.
5.16.
Right. All right, we're getting there. We're getting there. When we hit 6, we're going to give away 5 Lenovo Smart Clock Essentials with Alexa, and we're giving away a brand new Lenovo Chromebook Duet 3.
How many subs
sealed up
have?
In the box?
What do we have?
5.16,000.
Okay. What was the number? The average person has 783 Facebook friends.
Right.
If 5,000 people share that's 3 million people.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. Easy.
Those are all made up stats, but you get the point.
It's
we've
easy.
Said this every time, but the number of entries. How many entries can somebody get? Like 19
10,
or something like
20,
that.
Something like that. Yeah.
There are 122,757 total entries.
Lots of entries.
Even if you divide that by the full 19, that's a lot of people that are entered.
That didn't
subscribe. Clearly, that didn't subscribe. So
we're gonna
please go subscribe.
We're gonna remind. We're gonna
tell
remind
people
everyone,
to go subscribe. We're gonna send out a reminder.
If you've entered to win, just go do it. It's easy. Yeah. Yeah, just click the subscribe button.
Yeah. You can unsubscribe later if you want.
Just unsubscribe later if you want. If you get tired of us, just unsubscribe.
You can tell your dog to subscribe. He ain't doing nothing. He's sitting around the house.
We just want to hit the number so we can get the dang thing away. We just want to send it out the door.
All right. So 2 giveaways you can get entered to win. Go check them out. Linked down in the show notes and in the video description. Okay. Quick break for an ad and we'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunbox.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. Let's talk about Steam. Steam. We've got some
Steam engines.
We've got some Steam.
Steam boats.
We got some steamy goodness up there.
Steamboat Willie. That's an old.
That is an old. We need to get a new image.
Oh, that's got. That's like the we chick on the left looks familiar. It's what's her name from Walking Dead? Because that's Daryl in the middle.
Yeah, it's Daryl in the middle, which is weird.
Yeah,
I haven't watched Walking Dead in a few years, so I forget
we need
her
to
name.
Get some fresh photos. Some Steam stuff. What's the news? What's new with Steam?
What's new?
It's in beta.
As of today.
Correction, yes. Steam on Chrome OS is in beta and the beta channel.
So is Steam also in the beta
if you
state
read,
now?
Yeah, if you is read the official press release, they reference Steam in beta, small b, in the beta channel, capital B. So yes,
big
Steam
B.
has graduated from alpha to beta, and it is now in the beta channel of Chrome OS for eligible devices without any real crazy tricks and stuff.
Still only 12th gen?
No, so it's 11th and 12th, but they've expanded to Ryzen 5 and 7 of the 5.
They didn't do 3, Ryzen 3, right?
No, so it's just the 5,
good idea.
5 and 7 from the new 5000 series, 8 gigs of RAM.
Oh, they didn't do the 3000 series?
Nope.
Oh, dang it.
Nope.
Do we have any Ryzen 5 and 7s or any? I don't think we do.
No, because we got in trouble with it when we had Zen Bank. What?
I thought we had one other
maybe?
One. Maybe not. I don't think so. I was wanting to try just to be able to go, here it is on a Ryzen, here it is on...
Which we have, they are working on support for i3. Well,
I thought i3 got rolled into this too.
I don't know. I have
12th
to,
gen.
I have to look and see because, I found that commit that said lower end Ryzen 3 and i3 processor. So I did not look and see. If you look in the press release in my article, the link's right at the end of the article. It says the specifics on the internals. That's a bug report or bug track. Oh, there's no video in there, is there?
That was weird.
That was.
Let's see. I'm looking at some of these. Well, they don't list processors.
Yeah, so go to that.
Will it ever come to ARM chips?
Ooh. Doubt it.
That'll be probably not. Likely not.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. What's the limitation?
Processing power
and being at most of these are PC game. A lot of the architecture is built around x86, which is Intel and AMD chips.
And that's on the Steam side. These are files that are originally.
Yeah, so you've got PC. Most of the games are built for x86. Vulkan and all that stuff is x86. I don't even know if you can get this working on an ARM chip.
Check it out. So with this release, we're adding support for devices with AMD Ryzen 5000 C series, Intel 12th gen, and lowering the minimum CPU requirement to i3 and Ryzen 3.
Nice.
But they said that in reference to 12th gen, so I don't know that necessarily will go to 11th gen.
The dope sauce about that, well, we can test that though. We've got an i3, don't we? Somewhere.
I'm pretty sure we have an 11th gen i3 around here somewhere, and a 12th gen. Nice. I know.
12th gen i3. What was there? Something
I sent a bunch of stuff back recently. Oh, it's the 16 inch ASUS.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning it recently.
So the dope thing though is if they've extended that to i3 12th gen, that new Lenovo gaming Chromebook, which is geared towards cloud gaming, but still it's an i3 8128 RGB keyboard. All that. It's $399 at Walmart.
What was the deal with the price on that? Did it go back up for a little bit?
I thought they raised the price. So on Walmart's site, it has a slash through the retail, which is like 600 something. Lenovo's press release said the retail was going to be $599. We were told from Google $399, $499, whatever. So they've been selling it for $399. So that's a sale price. Now Walmart sold out of it, but in case you don't know this, Walmart has third party resellers just like Amazon does. Some reseller bought a truckload of them and was reselling them for $550.
Okay.
The i3. So they bought a bunch of them at $399. They're making a profit, whatever. Corporate America, love it. Capitalism's awesome.
Go for it.
You know, do what you got to do. But Walmart has them back in stock now, so you can buy them directly, bought and shipped from Walmart for $399. So,
I mean, I can't wait to get. I talked to our rep at Lenovo.
The only one we don't have, right?
They still
we don't.
Yeah, we got the ASUS.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I'm in the process of reviewing it.
did we unbox it?
Yeah.
I don't think we did.
Oh my gosh!
I was like, "Yeah, I took it out."
Robbie's
of the box.
Like, "I'm reviewing it." I'm like, "I don't know if we unboxed it already."
Yeah, that was the one. Remember the other day? I was like, "Did we do an unboxing of this?" And we didn't.
Yeah,
I thought that it was already unboxed.
But we unboxed the other ASUS, right? The one that wasn't the gaming one.
Yes.
Yeah. It's same.
Yeah. So maybe we do an unboxing initial impressions of that.
Exactly. Yep.
I don't know. I pretty much have a review ready. So
yeah. So I mean,
just unbox this part of the review.
Just do a video about it. It doesn't matter what we. Call it.
My post, the Acer is obviously the standout device of the three, but the Lenovo is a hard value to beat. Really hard value to beat.
I don't want to say the Lenovo is not awesome. We just haven't had it yet.
Right.
And they said they don't have the review units yet, so we could always just go buy it.
Yeah.
Give it away or something, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Or just be patient.
We'll get it eventually. It's a madness.
Yeah.
We'll get it eventually. There's something else I'd rather spend that.
Who wants this coffee mug?
No, yeah.
You can have it. There's some other crazy thing
We can talk about that here in a minute.
Yeah, so good. Anyway.
We're talking about it right now. I don't care.
So anyway,
Steam. Let's
actually works
Steam.
With gaming, so we could transition.
Yeah.
So back, but Steam, in addition to moving to beta and the beta channel, you don't have to have any weird token or anything, which it was cool, and they even gave a nod to the, you know, because you would open a cross shell and you would put an insert coin and whatever, and it's a little 8-bit arcade game.
Which was kind of cool.
It was cool. But they did away with that, and all you have to do is enable the flag and it's there. But they have, they've done some major improvements under the hood, one of them being power management. So the CPU overhead is a lot lower for Vulkan and DirectX now. So you're not going to lose the, it's going to manage the power better because as they mentioned, there's nothing worse than playing a game. And then all of a sudden you've got a notification that says, hey, your battery's about to die. Yep. And you just lost all your progress. They've done some work with scaling for monitors, which is really awesome because that's been one of the issues with Steam in its early versions was that it was wonky on larger screens. Your mouse wouldn't be in, you'd have to find where you were trying to click. And there's different stuff that they've worked on.
That one is super beneficial, mainly because even though not all Chromebooks would necessarily need to enable scaling, most of them do, mm-hmm. if you think right. about it. Like, most Chromebooks you look at right now, because we have 1080p screens on a lot of 13, 14-inch size devices. Well, if you run a 13 or 14 inch device at full resolution 1080p, everything's pretty small on the screen yeah. at native resolution. So Steam is in the container running native resolution inside of Chrome OS running at a scaled resolution. And so I think they can make up for that now, yeah. Which is good because it was a lot, especially on some of the 14 to 15 inch devices mm-hmm. at 1080p or some of the quad HD screens. You run that stuff native. Everything on the screen is so itty bitty tiny. It was really a strange move back and forth between the OS and the gaming experience. So it's good to see.
Yeah. So, but I'm anxious to try it out and see if I can notice the difference between now and what we experienced a few weeks ago. Because mm-hmm. they said they've tweaked the GPU rendering. Obviously, support for newer devices. They've added some devices to the list. The new Vero is on the list, which is cool.
That's dope.
Acer's little
it's a powerful little
green,
little
powerful green device is
I do
on
like
there.
That Chromebook. We just got our review unit in, so the one that we've had hands on was a pre-production. Yeah. So we've got a full blown unit in now that. It's in the queue. Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge change log of stuff that they've tweaked and updated. That battery notification one wasn't showing up when you were in full screen mode. Now it is. That way, if you're playing Steam games, plug your computer in.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Just do it.
But there might be times you're out and about.
I did see this. So it says Intel 12th Gen Core support.
Okay.
Were they not? I thought the initial support was for 12th gen device.
No, it was 11th. Yeah, because remember we had a 12th gen. What was the first 12th gen device we got?
The Flex 5.
Yeah, because we tried using the token and it didn't work. And then there was a commit that said there was a different token for. Then there was a super token that would allow any device.
That's right.
Yep, 11th gens were the first devices to get them. Yep.
So that because the only time I've really tried to install it and install some games and play was on a 12th gen device a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty stinking janky, like it was bad.
Good.
And so that's cool to see. I mean, it's a long list of things that they have changed, fixed, and
they've been putting in some work.
They
added 50 new titles to the recommended list, which the recommended lists are just ones that they've tried, they've tweaked some things, and they're saying, hey, these games run well.
We've said it 100 times with our videos on the Steam Deck that we did. It felt like we just talked about Steam Deck a lot for a little while there, but they have great. It was great on deck, I think, was the section of Steam when you loaded up the Steam Deck. It was stuff, hey, we've tested, we've tried, we know these work really well. It's the same concept. Mm-hmm. The reason we talked about Steam Deck so much is because this Steam experience is going to be so similar
right.
in execution to that.
And they are with the beta opening up, they're asking for more people to join up and play and try it. And they want your feedback because they can't squash bugs unless they know they're there. And a lot of times it may just be as simple as the game developer tweaking something or them just saying, oh, yeah, let's fix this because that thing's not working.
Right.
And they've made a slew of improvements in a very short amount of time. And with more people on board, more hands on deck, I mean, we realistically, maybe Q2, Q3, see of next year, out. See a this thing. A thing. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
I was super excited to go try it, so I got the Acer out and you know, flipped the flag on. And, you know, by the way, there are like 8 Borealis flags.
Don't touch them.
You don't need to mess with those. Yeah. Just the enable Borealis, which is the code name for all this.
Do we ever figure out where that came from?
It's from Half-Life. I'm 99.99% sure. It's
a Valve game.
It's a Valve franchise of games that are built off of Sword. But Borealis was a ship in one of the one of the games. So
that's what I'm going with.
Turn that on.
The icon shows up. Click it. Steam install comes up, and then I got an error, and I was like, "What's this?" And so I tried it. Restart the Chromebook, tried it again, turn the flag off, turn the flag on, like went through a bunch of stuff and kept giving me the error. And the game found a thing that said, hey, look, we're rolling this out. over the course of, they didn't say how long.
Well, yeah, it said, so they updated their press release after I published the article this morning. It said, note, there's downloadable content that has to be downloaded in the Steam container, because it's a container just like Linux is on Chrome OS. So even though you update to 108 on beta, there's still some content that has to be downloaded for the Steam container. So they said in the coming days, it could happen right now. It might be a day or two before.
Yeah, I'm going to try it after this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Give it a whirl.
I'm super excited to see, because I think that the Acer is going to be a perfect testing bed for this, because it does all of the things that they've kind of fixed.
Yeah.
12th gen processor, right. But it's got Iris Xe graphics. It's got that 16 thread processor, so it's going to be a higher end processor.
Oh, that's right, it's the P.
Yeah, and so plenty of RAM, so it's like, okay, it's in a pretty good spot to it should be a good gaming device for, you know, moderate gaming, but it's also a really high res screen, so it's going to have to see how Steam navigates that that quad HD screen that clearly needs to be scaled. You put 1600p on 16 inches and things are really tiny,
right,
if you go down to native resolution. So I'm super interested to see how all that works. And then we've also got the Asus gaming Chromebook here, and it's a 12th gen i5 as well, similar specs.
I'm assuming the Dragonfly is on that list. I would think so.
So yeah, I'd like to see how I'd like to get one of the, what would be one that, oh, the Acer Spin 714. It's a Core i5 as well, right?
Yep.
It's a more standard Core i5 8256, I think, but it's a 1920x1080 screen.
We have one of those laying around?
Yes, we do.
Oh, awesome.
So that'll be another good, like, we're going to test this, obviously, and then, you know, get our hands on a Ryzen, you know, chip, do this on an i3, like, really kind of push around and see where all of this falls, because I'm super interested, because if it's super awesome on 12th gen chips with, you know, a Core i5 and Iris Xe graphics, man, there's a bunch of Chromeboxes coming. It's going to make a great pairing for a Chromebox. Mm-hmm. You slap a 12th gen Core i5 or i7 device with, you know, nice fans and
32 gigs of RAM,
cram a bunch of RAM in it, put it behind your TV, and hook your Bluetooth controller up to it,
or a little rectangle, like loaf of bread type one that has some RGB lights in it, some water cooling.
Like the what are the skulls? The Skull Canyon Nooks. They have those.
Let's just get one of those as a Chromebox.
Let's just hit up Eric at CTL and be like, hey, can you just make this with a Chrome a Chrome unboxed skull logo.
You better believe I'm gonna go buy scromeunbox.com and it's just gonna have a weird glitchy logo.
I just made up a new word, scrome. There you go. Oh, that was the other thing you mentioned, the flags. There is something that they've worked on. Initially, when games installed on Steam, they installed it using the whatever file size that Steam reports. So when you go to the library, it'll say, oh, this game is 7.8 gigs, whatever. That's the file size that it allotted. But most games have downloadable content, add-ons, updates, all that stuff.
Right.
So they've added
ballooning,
disk parsing, disk parsing,
and scrums.
And ballooning.
And
yeah, so the parsing, all that does is it makes the disk storage more efficient, and then ballooning, it will just automatically resize as it needs to. Obviously, there'll be a cap if you start encroaching on your disk space, it will do that automatically, so you don't have to reallocate your disk.
Yeah.
It'd be dope if down the road they allow for games to be stored on external stuff.
That'd be great.
They'd have to put some limitations. It'd have to be like a high-speed USB drive or, you know, a really high read-write SD card, because obviously you don't want to play games off of a crummy drive. But it'd be cool if, like, you know, some of these Thunderbolt drives that we have that move data so fast. Yeah. Like, cool, I've got all my games on here. I'll plug this in and I don't have to worry about, like, oh, I can only download one game at a time on my 128 gig Chromebook,
because
some of these games are big.
Put some account level DRM stuff in there. That way you can verify the games are either free or they belong to you or whatever.
Figured out Steam in a container on a Chromebook. I'm sure they can figure out external
storage. Google just rolled out their own new, they deprecated Widevine, and there's the new DRM stuff coming out. So I'm sure that they've got a grasp on how to do that.
So the one thing we hinted at earlier, let's chat about it. So,
yeah, why not? It wasn't on the list of things, but we're going to talk about
who cares?
It. I'm putting myself on the hook. We're going to go get it. I'm going to order it.
Do it.
Or, well, we're going to reach out first, but if they don't come back, we're going to order it.
What are we talking about?
Gabe's like, what are we doing here?
What's happening? We're going to give it away. not giving it away.
We're going to use it. We're going to play with it.
So Nreal is a company that created AR glasses, I don't know, I want to say 3-4 years ago. They were at CES. There was only a handful of people that covered it, and they haven't been available in the States. But I've wanted to try them for years at this point. And
did
I don't know what version they're on. Did we go to their booth and see them? No, I've never touched them.
I think I'm thinking of, I think it was Asus or someone else had AR glasses.
There were a couple other ones.
Year.
They were a little derpy looking.
Samsung had the AR Ride.
These look like sunglasses.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very small. And they have one cable that comes off, a C cable, and you hook it into whatever you want to use them for. Now, granted, they have an Android app, for instance, if you have a device that has, and it might work even without DisplayPort out, like through their app, they might be able to do this. I don't know. I've not messed with it. But the idea being you hook them into your phone and you've got quite a bit of an interface you can kind of mess with just with it by itself without having to kind of noodle around on your phone. But they're available now in the States, and it says on the product page, like, is if your device supports DP out over USB Type-C, which is what Chromebooks do, it's DisplayPort out. It's pretty standard because they also, they say, like, you can use this with your Nintendo Switch, and you can use this with all this. Well, it supports DisplayPort out.
Right.
And so the idea being you could hook this into whatever, and you get, I want to say it's 120-inch screen equivalent at X amount of feet away from you virtually, you know, just in space that is augmented reality. So you're not going to get a bunch of AR experiences with your Chromebook. It's that I don't think there's anything built in that would do that. I mean, there might be some web AR stuff that would work. Maybe. I don't know. But
yeah,
I don't really care about that. What I want it for is to slide these glasses on, and that becomes my extended monitor because that's how it will, how Chrome OS will see it. It's going to see it
absolutely.
As whatever the resolution it's rendering on this quote-unquote screen that's in front of your face, and the thing's $380. So if it's usable, if it's a usable floating display, yeah, that would be really cool to get rid of a secondary monitor and just sit at your desk and
as Robbie pointed out earlier, to play GeForce Now.
Yeah,
GeForce Now or other Chrome games or
what sort of like
anything that you want to do.
How does it adjust and can you set brightness and stuff? Because I've seen some of these videos and it's hard to tell when it's on a video.
It's like, impossible. Yeah. It's
so how do you set like brightness and how does it? Are they, is everything other than your screen darkened basically, or does it set the display out just in front of you?
Just be out floating
like Minority Report.
So like I, you know, and it's. Ideally, I'd have to read some, you know, read some reviews and stuff on this. But ideally, I know with Lenovo has some AR glasses that they sell to enterprise.
Right.
And the idea being, this is your second and third monitor. Like, that's what this is for. Well, the idea being, it's AR, so it can actually still track the room enough to keep your monitor in space. So if I set my monitor here, for instance, when I look over to you with these glasses on, the monitor's not following my viewport.
Right.
So I look at you and I can just see you. I look back over here, my monitor's still here in space.
Gotcha.
No different than AR would work on your phone or whatever. Like if I drop, you know, Yoda in on the 3D model or whatever, and I put him over there on the floor, when I turn my phone over here,
He stays over there
yep. in that space and rendered in 3D. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that's
they've been working on this for years. So hopefully it's
and again there it's meant to work with an app and all this kind of stuff. So using it just as a extended display, I'm not sure how it works. That's why I want it.
We're gonna find out.
I've wanted this for a long time, like to try some AR glasses and just hook them into a Chromebook and see, because if I can get an extended display without actually having a display, oh my God, can you imagine? Like, you would be able to carry an extended display around with you in your bag. Like, I know it looks super nerdy to pull this out, but I don't know. They don't look that bad.
Yeah, I don't know. You're sitting in the coffee shop just staring off into the distance.
You know, and you're not, like, reaching around
what's
and touching
stuff.
What's
wrong with that guy?
But, I mean, imagine, like, you plop your Chromebook kind of over here to the side as a secondary display, and then you project your...
Yeah, it's a way more practical application than, you know, having something that you're interacting with out in front of you. You're actually just, you know, it's
let me pull
like
them
you
up
said,
real
no
quick.
Different than having your external monitor right in front of your face wherever you go.
Yeah, so I found them here. This is the listing on Amazon that I saw, like a news report, just saying, hey, look, you know, these things are available in the States. And I'm like, that doesn't look bad.
No.
Can I zoom?
Nope.
Amazon's like, oh,
nope.
Zoom.
No, you get
to.
No
I
Zoom.
I didn't want to Zoom. No. I didn't want to Zoom anyway. So, it's, again, it's, you know, I don't know. I'm probably idealizing these things, and in real use, they might not be that great, but it looks really
awesome.
Let's just,
let's set our expectations very low. That way we're blown away.
I want to be excited.
Oh.
I'm going to have to read some reviews. Maybe there's some people that have had hands-on with it already. But
surely to goodness, as long as they've been working on these things.
Yeah, so these are the NREAL AR, or NREAL Air.
Air, yeah.
Whatever that means. I don't know. But it says with...
I don't know that I've seen any with reviews or anything.
I've seen like the stuff at CES, like hands-on.
Right. Yeah.
And it's always been pretty good. Everything that people said, like, no, this isn't the most amazing display you'll ever see. And like it's saying it's full HD at this massive size. So like you're still only getting 1080 pixels top to bottom. It doesn't matter how large the display is. But, you know, if it's 120 inches, which is the equivalent of 10 feet, and it's even from me to that wall back there, I can see it. It's going to be clear to see. And so, again, it becomes a second display that you can just put on your face. And then for gaming, it'll be
awesome. Can you adjust the focus on them?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because
surely.
What about people like me who wear glasses?
It does say something in there about prescription something. So there might be a thing that it can sit over your glasses, maybe. I don't know.
See, that gets real derpy, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to look pretty derpy.
Now,
it's not quite Microsoft HoloLens.
Yeah. I mean, if I could put my lenses, my lenses cost a lot of money. I would, but seriously, if it worked that well, I'm all in, I'd go buy some more lenses and slap them in there.
Put them in.
Yeah, sure.
Why not? We'll see. We'll see.
Get it and order
see
it.
See if it's worth getting. And then, you know, talk about it.
We'll see if they want to send us one. If for some random reason somebody from this company is listening right now, send them over.
Send them on over. Got some emails. We're going to see what
it is. It'll be a little bit if we have to order them for sure. If we get somebody to send them to us, we can hopefully get it in before too long. But on Amazon right now, I think the lead time's a month.
Ah.
So it'd be December before they'd even show up if we ordered them right now. So.
Yeah.
But so it'll be a little bit of time. But I mean, it's way closer than back when I first saw them.
Yeah.
It's like, they're not even in the States. Like I'd have to import them or something to get them. So, super interested because again, Lenovo's, for instance, I've never tried them either, but they might be better. They're in their second generation of their enterprise version of this, but they're like $3,000. It's a 10th of the price and much smaller. So I mean, if they work, like the idea of being able to put a mobile second monitor in your pocket, and then, you know, some of the other things. I mean, imagine being on a plane.
Yeah. Right.
Having a nice huge screen in front of you. And sit back and watch it. Put your earbuds in and you're at the theater, baby.
Sit back and relax.
That's dream. Awesome. I remember seeing those things in like the Sky Mall magazines when I was a kid. And I thought, this is the height of luxury. It was a probably terrible experience. But
if I would have had that, I wouldn't have gotten sick on our flight back from San Diego.
In my brain, like if I could put goggles on and sit in front of this huge bright screen and hook it into my stuff like that. I always wanted that.
Yeah.
I really did. And
it's the future. It's the future, apparently, according to Zuckerberg.
Way, way in the future.
Yeah. We're going to be living all in AR and that. VR. Okay. Let's talk about a couple other quick things before we wrap up. Pixel Buds Pro, $150.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
And it's still holding.
Still holding.
And at that price, it changes the conversation. Nice.
But you've been gaming with them lately, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Latest update fixed the gaming lag. They're on par with any other device.
I feel like their worth and value have they've merged. $150 with the fixes that they've made make them worth it. Absolutely.
Yeah, because like the earbuds that we kind of talked about in a video with them, like we did $40 earbuds against these, and like you're getting a lot of the same stuff. Not the same fit and finish and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, be careful, you know, $200 versus $40. That's a tough sell.
Right.
But, you know, the earbuds I ended up landing on from that video for me were a little bit nicer version of
they were
$80.
70 or 80, right.
And so it's like, okay, 80 versus 200. Still, this is a lot cheaper and I feel like they're more comfortable and I get most of the stuff. But the pass-through is not great. So there have been some times we've been playing Apex, for instance, in the office. And it's just me and Gabe, and we got a third person. And I'm like, it's weird, you know, chatting, he and I chatting in that chat in the game.
Yeah, we've played with one person that we didn't know that it was like, hey, this person was cool.
Yeah.
And they got most stuck, and it was weird.
Yeah. Most times it's weird. And if we're in the same room, it's like, cool, I'll put on transparency mode. We can
talk
right here. Be like, hey, do you need this? Do I, you know, whatever. And I can always forget the name of them. Life three.
Yeah, there you go.
Anchor Soundcore.
Soundcore.
Life three.
P3.
I don't know. Whatever.
V3.
P-O.
They are comfortable earbuds. They sound good. I think the noise cancellation is very good. All those things are great. I still use them, but the pass through is not great.
Right.
And in game, I have a hard time hearing outside. Like, it's like a 50% pass through. It's enough that you could hear what someone's saying, but it's not great. Like, it doesn't do a good job.
It's like enough to keep you from getting hit by a car if you're jogging.
Right. But you put an AirPods Pro or Pixel Buds Pro and you turn on that transparency and it's like they're not there.
Yeah.
Like, it's really well done. I think the Pixel Buds Pro are better than the AirPods Pro.
Should I swap my AirPods for some Pixel Buds?
For that purpose, if that's like the most important thing to you,
the pass through? No.
The pass through is amazing on them. You know, I still think the Pixel Buds or the AirPods Pro are more comfortable.
I prefer the
Pixel. 100% subjective. Yeah, that's not worth
anything. The only time I ever had an issue with the Pixel Buds Pro was when I wore them for 2 hours.
Yeah,
I had them on for gaming, and then I kept them in and wrote an article. So I had them in for probably a solid 2.5 hours, and I did pretty well with them. So I think if they would have done 5 sizes on the ear tips, I'd be perfect. My left ear's in between. So I think
that was my issue, I just had a little ear fatigue because I think I need an in-between size on my left ear.
I looked everywhere and don't think that you're going to find anyone that makes a third party, because I could not find them.
But I will admit the AirPods, that's the first gen ones, right? Mm-hmm. That we got. AirPods so we got Pro. Some AirPods Pro, and I'm really digging them. I'm still not a fan of the sticks, but they're great. But I still think I would like the Pixel Buds because they're Pixel and because of the way that, you know, there's very little you can do with the AirPods Pro.
Oh, yeah. It's straight up.
It's they're connected and
noise canceling on and off and play and pause. That's what you get.
The one thing I miss is, and I know this is a very small thing, but the assistant, being able to sit and hold and do the assistant. A lot of times whenever I'm walking.
Swipe volume controls are so good too.
Yeah, and the swipe volume is fantastic.
Just all the tap, anything you do touching the earbuds, Pixel Buds Pro are excellent. Yeah,
like around the house, I would put them in, you know, listen to a podcast or something and just sit and hold, hey G, play whatever, or just didn't have to say hey G, just hold it and say what I wanted to listen to, and boom, it's good to go.
But I got some Google Store credits the other day, so now I'm like,
you got Google Store credits? They hand out credits.
They hand them out like crazy. Yeah. So if you are a Pixel 7, I think I guess it's just for Pixel 7 owners.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Anyways, I got an email from Google Store saying, hey, blah blah blah, share the love. If you give this promo code, we wrote it up. Joanna wrote it up.
I think so.
Yeah. So you get a promo code. So you share it with a friend, they buy a 6A, anything from a 6A or a 7 or 7 Pro, they get a $100 credit, and you get a $100 credit.
Nice.
And you can do it up to 10 times.
Wow.
That's $1,000.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
That's Wowzers. 10 big ones.
Did you put your code in the article?
No, I didn't write the article. I didn't write the article. I actually should have.
Yes. No. I should have.
So I shared it with the people in our Patreon community, not for that purpose, but to just, a lot of the people in our Patreon community have Pixel 7s already. Hey, look, I got this email. Guys, check out the email. Well, one of our patrons, not long after, was like, hey, I went ahead and ordered the 6A for me and my wife. I used your code. Well, I got an email today saying, hey, congratulations on your credit. Here's a new code. So I'm assuming they issue you a new promo code each time.
That's smart.
So, yeah.
Well, speaking of the Pixel 7, there were some sales numbers that came out.
Yeah, so in the earnings call, so it'd be a Q3 earnings call from Google / Alphabet. Sundar it was kind of a one-liner, but he said on the back of the Pixel 7, they had their best week ever of Pixel sales.
Yes!
Which is cool.
It's awesome.
Take it in context, obviously. Yeah. You know, Pixel
sales. It's not iPhone numbers.
Or Samsung numbers.
Yeah,
it's
or
not.
Samsung numbers.
But I would say, I bet after this quarter, I look back at that article where they had moved up into the number 5 brand in the United States, and the next one in front of them, Lenovo is in third.
Motorola,
they're the same company. There's somebody else.
I thought they listened. So.
TCL.
Which is crazy. Oh, really?
Yeah. That's whatever. I'm guessing TCL whitelists or white label.
Yeah, I just thought they were TVs and stuff.
They make a lot of phones. Like
they sponsor CES, so
they'll do like, here's our foldable phone, but you never see it. but
I like some of these
I bet some of those carrier brands are TCL phones.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, the margin between where Google was and even TCL and Lenovo, well, Lenovo Motorola had like a 10% share, I think. Google is like 1 or 2 and TCL is like 3. They can move into the 4 spot easily.
Yeah.
But I bet you they'll be way closer to that 3rd spot by the end of this quarter after the holiday sales of Pixel 7. And anecdotally, I couldn't find where I saw this. I saw a conversation with someone. I thought it was in our Patreon, but I looked and I could not find it.
Robbie dreamt it.
Yeah. So it was a real conversation. Somebody
that in Google inbox. What he dreams about.
Somebody said, you know, I have a friend who works at a distribution, like a UPS distribution.
Oh, place. Really?
And they were trying to figure out what had come in and filled up their warehouse, basically, and they couldn't figure out what the thing was. They said it came from, you know, it was definitely a Google thing, and they were smaller boxes. And it was like our whole inventory. And he's like, I've never once seen anything come in and have that volume move through our distribution warehouse.
That's good.
And so it was like, that was cool to hear. That was within the first week or two of the release. And it was like, wow, that means, I mean, orders are high.
Yeah.
So I would almost guarantee you by the end of quarter four, when they have their call and they say, you know, we've had good numbers or whatever, the Pixel 7, the 6A, and the 7 Pro are going to do really, really well this year.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, it was just a short thing to say they did have their best week ever of sales. And the Pixel 6 and 6 Pro did a lot for that. Like, they really moved the bar forward. Yeah. They were the best-selling Pixels ever. They had their best quarter in quarter four because of the Pixel 6. So, they're making the right steps.
Yeah.
You know, you don't conquer this whole thing in a single iteration of phones. Like, and to me, I feel like Pixel 1, 2, 3, and 4... we're kind of just like, we're just kind of feeling stuff out. Let's see what we can do, what we can get away with and all that stuff. And then COVID and Pixel 5 weirdness and all that stuff. And it's like Pixel 6 was the first real swing they took.
Yep.
Right.
And I think they did pretty good. And the 7 is a great iteration of that. And I think they cleaned up a lot of stuff they needed to fix. And this has been a fantastic phone experience. It really has so far. And I think they're going to sell a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. And so, price is great.
Yeah. And so it's just one step at a time. And so, you know, don't try to make these big moves moving forward. It's time to take this formula and just keep making it better.
Right.
You know, we can bag on Apple all we want about, you know, that phone looks exactly like the phone before it. But Apple has learned how to iterate in a way that allows them to kind of fine tune these things and just make the experience better and better and better and better. Do they make too many phones? Probably.
What is the floating island on the Pixel going to be called? If Apple has Dynamic Island, what's the Pixel one going to be called? Paradise Island.
What's another word? Is there another word for island? Landmass. It's a landmass. I like landmass. Let's stick with landmass. Paradise landmass.
Paradise landmass.
No, they have it connected just slightly at the
top. It's a paradise peninsula.
Archipelago.
It's the wonderful archipelago.
Peninsula. It's the Yucatan Peninsula.
It's the pretty good peninsula.
Yeah, they'll do something named like that. I'm just ready for the Pixel 8 rumors.
Yeah,
I'm ready for the Pixel. Where are the Pixel 8 rumors?
I know.
I'm ready for Prosser to come out with.
Here's the Pixel 8.
Here's the Pixel 8 full render.
Yeah, it's time. We still have like the Fold and the Pixel 7 Pro Plus.
Ultra.
Ultra. All those before we get to the 8.
That's right.
There's supposed to be a smaller Pixel too. But
that too.
I'm super excited about the Foldable's coming.
Yeah.
Like, what was the article I said the 7A is like supposed to be better than the 7? I was like,
it's going to be good.
It is.
It's going to be solid.
Yeah.
It's going to be a solid offering, which tells me, if they're going to do that, if that's the case, the 8 is going to be a step,
right.
A big step for it. It won't be an iterative. It should be a step. So that'll be cool.
Maybe similar in design. Maybe, you know.
Yeah, I hope they keep
the visor. I think that's their design.
I think they've owned that enough.
Be a big processor upgrade. Hopefully,
I don't know that they can go away from it.
I don't care
how much they want to.
Not.
Even if they do want to down the road,
I love
it. You can't go away from it now because you've created an iconic enough look that no one's going to go try to copy now.
Right.
And so, you know.
Yeah, because I still.
They need to keep it.
Nexus was still my. Mm-hmm. The 6P is still.
Was that the Huawei, the one that had the visor like that?
Phone up until this one. So I
love. What size was that phone?
Six.
It's like probably 6.3, 6.4.
6.3. Okay. Yeah, so.
It was big
for
its age.
I have it somewhere.
I mean, I still.
I think so. Ooh,
really?
I have to go look.
It was well made.
We traded ours on our LGs that we got, and then we made the move from that to OnePlus. But I still have my 6 on my nightstand, and I like it, but I liked the Nexus 6P better than I like my 6. But this is hands down my favorite Google phone ever.
Yeah.
It's been great.
It brought me over to the pro side. So
it does all the stuff I would need it to do.
I've been really enjoying it. It's a great phone. Yep. We need to make some other content around it. Come up with some creative things. We have Chromebooks floating around. We got to take care of.
I don't remember what case company it is, but they've got a ad running all over Facebook where they're on the roof of Google. They're like, we're throwing this phone off the roof of Google, and they throw it. But the guy's standing there where it lands. It lands in the mulch. And I'm like, really? Seriously?
Still pretty.
Because it looks like it's going to land on the sidewalk. But it's like, we should throw one off the roof of Google.
Sure.
I think it's a great idea. The roof of Kenny's office.
Or the roof of whatever. Around the corner where we threw off the Chromebook.
Not mine.
All right. I think that's it for this week. We appreciate you all tuning in and watching and listening. If you are watching, make sure to give us a thumbs up. Go down there and click subscribe and click the notification bell icon. Helps with the algorithm, and you get an update when we publish a new episode.
Yeah.
I mean, what more do you want? And make sure to enter both of our giveaways. We'll make sure to link both of them. We're giving away an HP Chromebook X360 13B with Companio 1200 inside for free.
This guy, you know, you gotta do he's this like an expert.
I know. Whoa. I'm getting these names down, boys. It only took me 4 years. And we're also trying to give away a Lenovo Chromebook Duet 3 and some other goodies when we hit 6,000 subs.
Yeah, well, maybe sooner.
Just help us help you. We're trying to give you some stuff. Just go. Click the stuff down there.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. Okay, we appreciate it. That's it for this one. We'll catch you all next week. See ya. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.